Last one, I didn't get no book last time. Everybody was fast. I'm glad I'm here today.
Amen.
Thank God yesterday was my 39th birthday in the Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
39 years ago, God saved me, and I hadn't been the same since. My life changed. Everything's been different. Yeah, you got so many people say, oh, I'm saved, and 2 months later, you don't know where they're at.
Yeah.
39 years has still been good. I mean, it's as fresh and as good a day as it was then. Even better. Yeah, we're going to go into Proverbs chapter 4. Man, smile. Do something. Everybody smile.
Everybody.
Yeah. Kind of rough up here looking. Everybody looks like I do. Like I feel. Over in Proverbs, Preacher Hatt told me to start with verse 20, I think it was. He was talking here, Solomon was talking to his son. So I reckon this would be wisdom to a son. And starts in verse 20, it says, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my saying. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of the heart, thy heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and help to all that are flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from the forward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thy eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder thy path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Father, we thank you, God, for this morning. Thank you, Lord, for a church, God, that we love and to come into, not just a church building, but the people as a body, as a church. We come in, brothers and sisters in Christ, and can feel that fellowship. We pray, God, for the preaching hour and Preacher Hype, to give him liberty. And, oh, God, I pray you'd fill him with the Spirit of God. Let him preach like he had never preached before. Got to be some lost people supposed to be coming. I pray, God, you'd get a hold of their heart. They might get saved. And let them see. They said they wanted to see what it was like an old-fashioned preacher is. God, show them, Lord. God, open their hearts. I pray, God, you help me now, Lord, to teach this message. Bless each and every one in the Sunday school room. Bless each and every one that hears. In Jesus' name, amen. Over in Proverbs, he says, my son, attend to my words. Incline thy ear unto my saying. Attend. You know, when you attend, you pay attention to something.
Right.
You know, you want to attend. I guarantee if somebody's up here talking, telling how they're going to give you a bunch of money, you'd attend to it. You'd listen to it.
Right.
You'd have your ears, you know, fixed on it. But yet this same book here telling you how you're going to get eternal life, and how that eternal life is coming about. But you need to attend to it.
Yeah.
You need to listen to it. Even said, if you pay attention, you obey or you listen. I mean, you want to listen. Not only does Solomon here say, he says, my son, attend. And he wants his son to hear the words of wisdom, but he wants him to pay close attention. Pay close attention. You know, a lot of times be in church and, I mean, you leave. I'm guilty. I mean, I'm here and I'm standing there watching at the preacher and listening, but I ain't paying attention. I mean, if you're looking at him, you're not talking or anything, but in your mind, it's not there. It's just, you know, wandering around. I mean, you're not paying attention. And you go outside and say, well, what did preacher preach on? He's, my good, sometimes you ask me, what did I preach on? I think, I tell you what, it's just, I mean, you got to pay attention in this world today. You got to learn. And it's also, He told his son to pay attention. He wanted him to obey. He wanted him to spare him some headaches and some heartaches. I mean, how many headaches and heartaches would you have been spared if you'd have listened to your mother or father? I mean, them little boys, Carol tell them to do something, then they just keep on. I'm thinking, uh-oh. And by the time you hear them, well, I do it, Mom, I do it. Too late then. Wrath done got them. If they would have attended and listened and done what the mother told them to do, they wouldn't have no problem. I mean, but see, that's the way we are. We don't listen like we should. And you know, again, you get so aggravated sometimes. I do. my wife, she'll be sitting watching TV, and you can be talking to her, and she ain't hear nothing you say. Because your mind is fixed on that one thing. She just cuts you out. I mean, and I said, did you hear me? What? Yeah. I mean, that's just the way some people can do that. And like, sometimes I wish there were some people I could tune out and turn off. Because, you know, whatever they got to say, you just don't want to hear it. But he said, my son, attend to my words. Incline thy ear to my saying. He said, incline, you know, attend, but lean over a little bit. Get down there and listen. The Bible says God inclined his ear unto us and lean over. Listen to what God has to say is what he's saying. And he said, my son, Solomon telling him, he said, pay close attention. He said, because I want to spare you some times of trouble and some times of a sinful life that you won't have to go through. Good gracious, if I listened to my mom and dad, man, there's all kind of stuff that wouldn't be imprinted in my mind right now. Well, you can't get rid of it. You can get forgiveness of it. You can't get rid of it. I mean, you might be in the house of God and hearing the Word of God preaching, and out of the blue, that sin pops in your mind. Because that's the devil where you listen to the devil and done those things when you should have been attending and listening to what your mother or father has to say. Or if you're in church and you're saved, what the pastor has to say.
Yes, sir.
That's the worst thing you have, the problem you have, boys, them thoughts coming to your mind.
Right.
I mean,
sure.
Been saved, been married 40 years, saved 39 years, and still it's junk. 60 years old, junk. I mean, them stupid songs back when we was running around, you know, all that, the Black Sabbath and all that stuff, just that junk coming in your mind. Just, I don't even know the stage. A song, real good song, I can't memorize and try to memorize. And then some crazy song way back then just gets in my head. And I think, Lord, help me. Help me, Lord. But he said, attend to my words. Then number 21, he said, let them not depart from the mouth. Now, I'm going to go back here a minute. I want to go back to 20 again. When I was talking about that in your mind, that's a fleshly body, and sin will be crouching at the door. You know, he's just sitting there waiting to jump in to that flesh. And that's why you need to attend to what God said. Attend to the Word of God. Because that flesh is just waiting. Just waiting. Just be any minute, buddy. Just to get you out of God's will. I just wanted to say that. And 21, Proverbs 21 says, let them not depart from thine eyes, and keep them in the midst of thy heart. Here Solomon is counseling his son, and to always keep the words of wisdom before his eyes. This is the words of wisdom. Always keep it before your eyes. I mean, if I tell you what, if the kids this day and time, if they was raised in the Word of God and know the Word of God, and they'd be out here, and when a bunch of other kids would come up and say, oh, come on, let's go over and do this or do that. I mean, if he was raised in the Word of God and had that wisdom all the way before their eyes, they would think once or twice, maybe four times before they'd go out and do sin. They always got that wisdom. If it's implanted in your mind, your heart, you wouldn't do it. I tell you what, my daddy implanted in my hind end that if you go do something, you're going to get it. I mean, it was in my heart, but I knew it was going to be on my end. I knew that my daddy tell me something. Hey, he meant business. So here, Solomon's counseling his son, telling him, you know, to keep the words of wisdom before your eyes. Yes. Keep them before your eyes. And I'm telling you now, even now, if you don't keep the words of wisdom before your eyes, I mean, sometimes I feel good and I read my certain scriptures I read, and then I think, well, I don't want to read no more. I just feel so bad. And I lay down, and, you know, any other time, I'd lay there forever, you know, couldn't sleep. But as sure as water, I lay my head down and bam, I'm going to sleep. I'm thinking, how do I do that? I get over there reading the Word of God, and man, you wears you slap out and you get sleepy. But, you know, when you're standing there, you think, well, I ought to get up and study the Word of God. And first thing you know, the old flesh. Flesh don't want you in the Word of God. Flesh does not want you to hear the Word of God. Flesh don't want that. So it'll lay down and go to sleep on you. But let not thine eyes depart. I got a little bit of hoarseness here today. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thy heart. This means we are always to judge matters through the eyes of wisdom. We don't need to judge matters through our eyes. I mean, we look at things and look at people and we judge quickly. The Bible says you tell a tree by the fruit it bears.
Amen.
I mean, you can judge nothing. But when you judge something, you need to look through the Word of God, look through the eyes of the Holy Ghost, and by praying and asking God that you can look at these things. And through these eyes are not through the lust of the eyes of the flesh. You're looking through the Word of God, through holy eyes, to find out what's going on.
Yes.
Too many times we quick to judge and we quick to have the wicked thoughts in our mind, and maybe somebody wasn't even doing nothing at all, but they looked like they was doing something sinful, or maybe it looked like they was drunk or something, and we come to our own conclusion instead of coming to a conclusion with God. But you know what? We're human. We're just human. And just because we're human, we blame everything on that. But I tell you what, we need to be close to God and not let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep God in our mind. Keep our eyes off trouble. And don't let sin sink into our souls.
Amen.
Train up a child in the way he goes. When he's old, he won't depart from it. Reason you got all these killings. Reason you got all this stuff going on. Because we're not training our children right.
That's right.
We're not training our children up to where they walk in the paths of righteousness. You know, let them not depart from thy eyes. To look with thy eyes open, our eyes means we make spiritual assessment of the situation. When I look at something now, I don't always, but I try to make a spiritual assessment, you know, with the situations that is at hand. But you know, a lot of times we jump ahead of ourselves and ahead of God, and we don't listen to God. So we need to kind of keep our ear in tune to God's ear, and when He speaks, we need to listen and see what's going on. The knowledge of God is given us in the Scriptures. We get the knowledge of God.
Yeah.
That's the only place you're going to get the knowledge of God. You're not going to get the knowledge of God reading some novel, reading some fiction. I mean, reading some other kind of books. I mean, I'm glad if you like to read and you read all that. I'm going to tell you, I don't like to read. I'll be honest with you. I don't know if I ever read a book in my life. I maybe. You say, well, you're pretty stupid. Yeah, I'm pretty stupid. I mean, I wish I would have liked to read. But I had that, when I was all growing up, I had that, still have it. I have dyslexia, where you read and you get things turned around backwards. I read words backwards, and that made no sense to me. So when I read something, I went to a class. back when Tina was, my oldest daughter was younger, she was having reading problems. I went to this learning class, reading class. And that man took enough trouble to help me. I was telling him about my problem, and he took enough time to help me with my reading. And I had the Bible. Now, he's a Christian man. He let me, he helped me read out of the Bible. And I had to put my finger on each word so I don't turn around backwards. If I don't, I don't know what I'm reading. So I'm getting better over the years. I reckon when I die, I'll be able to read right. But, well, that's the way my eyes was. I wore glasses ever since I was in the seventh grade. And now I'm 60 years old. Man, I see great. I just can't read. You know, I gotta wear glasses to read. I just couldn't see here in the back door. Everybody's face be blurry. I mean, isn't that amazing how God does things? But here he said, let them not depart from thine eyes. This is why Solomon tells his son to keep them in the midst of his heart. He wants the wisdom of God to be centered in his son's life and allow his entire life, including decision making, which gives us direction in our spiritual walk. One wrong decision. One wrong decision. It can cause your life to be burnt and be walking out of the path of God for the rest of your life. It can cause you to wander off the path of understanding, and then it can take longer to return to the path it was one that you're wandering in. You think about that. Just one wrong decision. I can think back when I was lost where I made one wrong decision, where it has affected me today. I can think about where I was saved. I made one wrong decision and it affected me today. Just one wrong decision. And if we can get that instilled in ourselves and try to get it instilled into our children and our children's children, you'll be better off. That's what Solomon's trying to get his son to see here. And then, verse 22, for they are life unto those that find them, and help to all their flesh. For they are life unto those that find them, and help to all their flesh. These true words of wisdom brings life to those who embrace it. It brings life to those who embrace it. The true words of wisdom. I'm telling you what, if you take the words that your parents give you and the pastor preaches and studies and seeks the face of God, and he's giving you words of wisdom that can help change your life and help you go have a better life, and you can lead a better life. Yeah. And then we walk away from it. You take people come in here, and no doubt there'll be people here lost today. And a truth right been given to them. A truth is right in front of them. And they'll walk out lost, going to hell.
Yeah.
You've been in this church. You've heard the Word of God. Enough of the Word of God has come from this pulpit to save the world. And you just keep rejecting it. What is wrong? Is it us? Is it us that we're not God? We don't have so much the power of God on us anymore. Yeah, when a sinner comes in, and we pray. Do you pray when the sinners come in? You know they're sinners.
Right.
Do you get that desire and get that sincerity in your heart that, hey, that guy's going to hell, that lady's going to hell?
Right.
And do you get a burden on you?
Right.
I'm afraid we don't. I'm not saying you don't. I'm saying we don't. I'm afraid we do this. A lot of people come in and we're just having church. And we think about it. Well, we're having church. And we're not even concerned about the lost. We think about the lost out there. Well, here they're sitting amongst us. I mean, we need to have that in our heart. And so that we, when people come in lost, that we're able to help them. Those true words of wisdom brings life to those who embrace it. Those words which which do not contain wisdom and are contrary to what God would have us to do, could be death unto us, and definitely they are spiritually death. to those who are unsaved. So see, those words, the people who come in here, it could be death, spiritual death unto them. You know, I think your kids, I mean, when my kids was little, I tried to keep them quiet. That's one thing about when I was a Lutheran in a Lutheran church. Man, the kids didn't cut up. You didn't cut up in church. You didn't. All this. I know there's things that your kids are going to cry. And I know there's times and stuff. But I'm talking about just downright disturbing the service. I'm talking about when things are going wrong, you need to get that child and you need to get him under control or take him back there and get him under control. Because there's someone beside you could be dying and going to hell, and that distraction could cause them to go to hell. They could leave here and say, well, I'm not never coming back there no more. I couldn't hear the preacher. I don't know what was going on. And it just could be Holy Ghost conviction on them, and they don't want to listen. And he says here, he says, for they are life unto those that find them and help to all their flesh. These words here, man, they're life unto those that find them. Boy, can you remember, 39 years ago, I carried a Bible. It's a King James Bible too. I carried it to the house of God tonight. I got saved. And man, it was just tonight I got saved for those words, buddy, when they come in my heart, it just brought me alive.
Amen.
I mean, you know, I was dead and miserable. It was just a terrible life. Me and Pat hadn't been married but a little over a year. And we go in there. We got married in April of 75 and August of 76. In that time, we've already had Tina was born. And we went in there, and remember, the preacher preached the words of his book, they was alive. And they just come out, and it's just like they're alive. And it started dealing with my heart and spoke to me. I'm going to tell you what, that's why people are not getting saved today. Because preachers aren't preaching like they ought to anymore. They're not preaching the words of life. They don't have it. The people don't find the words of God because they don't have it in their heart. And they can't, the preachers don't have it in his heart. And they're lost and going to hell. And they're getting up there speaking real fine words and telling real fine stories rather than saying, thus saith the word of God.
Yeah.
And then people, they think the Word of God is some little book that the preacher may give to them. But I tell you what, the Word of God is alive and it is healthy to all your flesh. This Word of God is healthy to you. Sin is not healthy to the flesh. And Samson was a good example of this. He wound up being captured by his enemies. He gives us a picture that if we stray, we can become captured by the enemy of sin. Hey, you might get out of the will of God, but you ever think about what happens if you don't stay close to God and keep the Word of God in your heart, and you get like old Samson, you get out, and even though God was on him, And the things happened to him, and he ended up getting caught by the enemies. He had his head shaved and lost all his power. He took and they put his eyes out. I'm going to tell you what, they're putting the kids in this day and time that goes to school, they're putting their eyes out to the things of God. They think this so they don't know what the power of God is. They want to take it all away from our children. Why? Because they take it from our children and then their children and then the children's children. Next thing you know, we got a country like we got today. A country that don't love God. A country where some sodomite can rule everything. Where some sodomite can come in your church and take rule out of the church. Close down. I'm going to tell you what, if we don't take a stand for God's Word and for the things of God, our country is doomed and damned already. We better be a handful that takes up the stand and stand for God.
Amen. Amen.
Because there's not many anymore. There's not many anymore. Old Samson, he was strong, buddy. He had the strength, but he wanted to do his little foul play and do the things that he shouldn't be doing. And he paid the consequences thereof. We become captured by the enemy. You say, what are you talking about? Well, I tell you what. I mean, don't get me wrong. I hear preachers get up and start running and talk about Facebook and all that stuff. I don't mess on Facebook much. Last night I got on there and I put on there, and I've been saved 39 years, and I put a bunch of scripture with it. Amen. And that's all I've done and I got off. But I tell you what, I like my computer for studying the Word of God. Yes. I like my computer for getting on there and hearing other preachers. I like my computer for the things of God. And as I said before, I'm not ashamed for anybody. Go on my computer. Look at all the history, whatever you want to look at in my computer. You'll not find nothing that it don't please God. I don't look at that mess. I use it to glorify God, to help me in my studies, to help me as I do the will of God. And if I yet you got people who's captured in sin, Christian people who's all wrapped up in that thing, and they can't do nothing unless they tell Facebook about it. My gosh, what do you want them to know what you're going to go to the bathroom for? I mean, it's just ridiculous. My gosh, he ain't getting paid for it. You know, I have a TV show up. You wouldn't even have one where that guy was, and they had met a TV show of his life everywhere he went. I mean, good grief, get free now. All you got to do is watch Facebook.
Yeah.
But I'm not knocking Facebook. Thank God we got the camera. We got the sermon audio. We got you going and watch the preaching and hear the preaching. It just tickled me good if somebody go across there and catch their eye on Brother High preaching and they think, man, what is this? But there's a lot of people that have never heard the Word of God preached like this. Sure, my wife supposed to have some people coming today. They're from up north. And they're coming. Her cousin told his son, told Pat he wanted his sons to hear a real preacher. That's what he said, Preacher High, because he met you over there when Clark died. He said he wanted his sons to hear a real preacher, a real man of God. So we need to be in prayer for them today. If they come, I pray God give us a dud. I don't know what they'd have done if they'd been here last Sunday when God come in. Because I tell you what, boy, I'm going to tell you what, it was good.
Yes.
And you know what the funny thing is? It was so good, brother. I'm still rejoicing on it. Hey, if I got drunk that night, I'd be over with. The hangover would be gone. It'd all be gone. But I tell you what, because of what God did, I can still rejoice over it a week later. I'm still rejoicing over the time before we went to camp. And then this past time we took that's the thing God is. Man, you just got the words of life and they're in you and just keeps coming forward.
Amen. That's right.
Old Solomon here, he's trying to help his kid. Trying to help him. And I tell you what, today we need to keep ourselves clean. And don't stray off into a highway of sin. Keep our bodies normal, and by taking the brute out of unwise words to get them out of our mind, and the decisions that we make sure that our bodies aren't injured by the wrong decisions. Make sure that a child, your younger child, is not injured by your decisions that you make. There's a lot of times you make decisions in your life as an older Christian, as a mom or dad, that affects your child.
Amen.
The Jews said, let the blood of Jesus be on their children and their children's children, their children, and it has been.
Yes.
It has been. And then verse 23, it says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. It says keep. If you keep something, you're going to guard it.
Right.
You're going to guard it. Keep thy heart. You need to guard thy heart. You got to guard your heart from the things of this world, the wicked things that are around you. Here we have an abomination an admonition to guard our heart from the sin pitfalls. You've got to guard it from the pitfalls of life. You've got to guard it and to keep things that are attacking you away. He's not speaking of a physical heart, but the spiritual heart. You're talking here about the spiritual man inside of you that helps you to stand daily and fight against the forces of evil. And if you don't attend to that heart, and you don't feed that heart, you don't feed that spiritual man, then that fleshly man will take over. There's no two ways about it. The heart of an unsaved man will always devise plans which are contrary to the wisdom of God. And that is that's why wickedness flows from the heart of an unsaved man as water flows from a fountain. I mean, they just wicked stuff over. They don't care. Don't bother them one bit. Watch, see what goes on. I ran across something on the internet the other day about this ISIS stuff over there. They had about 10 people hanging up over here. It had all their heads lined up over here. I think, my God, how can it be so wicked a people they be? They're out of hell. They're out of hell. They're going to hell. Solomon is counseling us to guard our hearts so that we will not follow in the pernicious ways of the unsaved. Don't follow in those ways that the unsaved do. They're deadly, they're faithful. Don't follow in those ways. Follow in the ways of God. And it says, the issues of life, he's talking about here, out of it are the issues of life. If you take someone who's got their heart on all diligence, and for out of it are the issues of life. So see, your heart, you love God, you do things for God. So therefore, coming out of your heart is the things of God. Things don't come out of my heart of the devil. I don't go around thinking, you do have thoughts and stuff, but you don't go around doing what the devil wants you to do. You don't go out and just start cussing somebody out. Well, some of you might do. I don't know. I hope you don't. But, you know, some people like that. They say, well, hey, I'm a Christian, you know, and next thing you know, you hear them over just cussing like everything. A big thing goes question mark in my mind. Because, you know, what comes from out of the heart is the root and the mouth is the fruit. So if it comes from your mouth, most times it comes from your heart. But here, you get the unsaved man, you gotta keep check at the unsaved man, but he can't tie his tongue down. I don't care how much he wants to live right, do right, he's not gonna do it. It's gonna come out. It's gonna come out sooner or later. But the issues of life here, that's what takes a man that loves God and lives for God. And the issues of life is like the exiting. It's all about the issues of life. It's like the exiting, like going out that door. The issues of life are things that comes out of your life as a Christian, as a child of God, comes out of your life to help other people. You might be good words of sound doctrine. It might be good words of faith. It might be just something that comes out of your life that they see you that's coming out of your life. That's what he's saying here. He said, keep thy heart diligently. For out of it are the issues of life. So you keep your heart right with God, and you keep your heart on the things of God, and stay in God's Word, and the things that come out of your life will be of God. You don't have to worry about it. It'll be of God. Oh, Job's testimony. Job, in here, it says in Job 1:1, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. Job's testimony was that he eschewed evil. Eschewed evil means avoid habitually. When we make a habit to avoid sin, we're making a habit to walk in the wisdom of God simultaneously. You know, if you're avoiding sin, but sometimes you can't help but to walk in the things of God. And, you know, that's good. And then verse 24, we're going to hurry along. It says, put away from thee a forward mouth and perverse lips put far from thee. Forward mouth, that's fraudulent and deceitful speech. He says, put that away from you. Don't be talking like that. You don't need to talk like that. He says, perverse lips, crooked lips, deviation, or departed. I mean, lips that don't have nothing to do with God. But yet, he says, stay away from them. Yeah, I figured that. I'll tell you what, y'all. Oh, well, I can't talk anyway. Let me just read the last couple verses on this. He said, forward lips, forward mouth, that's a fraudulent and deceitful speech. Perverse here, you got a crooked deviation, and you need to stay away from them. And today, I ask you to keep your eyes looking on the Lord Jesus Christ. Let thy eyelids, in verse 425, let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Keep looking toward God. Keep walking for the Lord. Verse 26, ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Ponder means to prepare, way, or make a level. He says you got to make it. You got to keep your eyes on Jesus. And then 27, turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy feet from evil. Walk with Jesus. Walk with Jesus. You can walk the walk and you can talk the talk. And you can live it before this lost and dying world. How God is in your heart. How the Lord leads you. How the Lord, when somebody sees you as a Christian person, they'll say, there's something different about that person. They just, I can't put my finger on it, there's something different about it. And a lot of times, they say, oh, you got religion. No, got salvation. Thank God. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this morning. Pray, God, that has kind of scattered and everything, God, and I pray, God, you touch my voice, Lord. And I ask you to bless each and every one here. I pray they might have got something, Lord, that would help them. Thank you for the service, Lord. Give us a great time in the preaching hour. Help Brother Hyatt preach like he's never preached before. In Jesus' name, amen.